In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
All right. What is this? Rush to Fool's Day? April Fool's? Rush to Reason? Denver's Afternoon Rush? Myself, Rachel Keene, Charlie Grimes. Somebody, by the way, that's in really big hot water over April Fool's.
Who?
Volkswagen.
Oh, what have they done?
Well, they came out the other day, and I actually bid on this. I'll be the first to admit, because I'm a car guy, I actually bid on this. There was a story earlier in the week where they said they were going to change the name of their North American division to Volkswagen, V-O-L-T-Z, you know, V-O-L-T-S,
yes.
Like electric volts.
Instead of Volks.
Instead of Volkswagen.
Okay.
In honor of, you know, electrifying fleets and so on.
Yeah.
And I looked at that, read it, and I thought, and Charlie did as well, and I think most people did. In fact, this is the problem. Most people looked at it and said, oh, makes total sense.
Because
they had a little,
yeah.
You know, they had a little logo in the whole nine yards. Yeah. I mean, they'd kind of done it up. Well, guess what?
It was an April Fool's?
It was an April
no
Fool's
way.
Joke. Yes.
Nice job.
Yeah, other than now they're in hot water with the SEC, because what the SEC said is, wait a minute, you guys are putting things out that investors, people that, you know, buy stocks and either buy or sell or do different things based upon what you guys as a company are saying, do, and you can affect the markets by something along those lines. So they're in a little bit of hot water now with the feds.
Have they put out a statement since saying, hey, we're just playing around?
Therein lies the problem.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
They did, and then the feds have said, well, wait a minute, time out.
Oh.
You guys can't do that.
Yeah, I get it, because if I, you know, had shares in
right.
Volkswagen,
and you
I,
say
I,
you
I
sold
like,
them.
Yeah, I might think that's not going to fly. I don't feel
I don't
want to
be a part
this,
of that.
Right.
I don't like the way the direction they're headed.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell. Well, and or you say, wow, now they're like Tesla and GM, let's buy, because I think the stock might go way up.
Yeah.
That could happen, too.
Mm.
So the feds are now saying, wait a minute, time out. Volkswagen.
Who's the guy that came up with this idea?
I don't know.
He's hiding right now.
I'm guessing he's under a desk
MIA.
Somewhere.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to talk. Leave me alone.
He is somewhere, nowhere to be found at the
just
moment.
Just kidding.
Well, you know, but here's the other thing. Come on, companies. There's not just one guy approving this.
Right.
You know, there's a team of individuals that are all working on this. Didn't one of them say,
yeah.
Hey, guys,
I don't know.
Maybe this isn't such a great idea.
Yeah, that's funny. That is funny.
So, yeah,
you would
in
think
hot water.
Also, like, if we're talking about big companies, have you heard about Delta? What happened with them?
That guy's an idiot. I talked
what
about
an
him
idiot.
Yesterday. What a
oh,
moron.
Oh, did you? Yes.
Yeah, because I went through all the points of what actually changed in Georgia law, and the guy at Delta has no business saying what he said, because, frankly, nothing there has changed or disenfranchised any voters. In fact, if anything, it will help most voters out. And all this guy at Delta did
right.
was basically buy into the mantra of the left, which is a bunch of garbage.
Right.
It's a lie.
Yeah. What's crazy is you have to have an ID to fly on Delta. So basically
well,
what this guy
place,
said is ID is racist. It's basically
well,
what he said.
The only place you have to have an ID, which again, he didn't I read the whole stinking thing, by the way. Not word for word, but I scanned the whole thing and read it. And here's what it says. The only place you have to have an ID to vote for is if you're getting an absentee ballot.
Right.
There's no voter ID other than that.
But that, come on, there should be voter ID. Like, that's
agreed.
This is what I don't, that's
you
what
should
I don't,
verify
right.
who you are in an absentee ballot.
Right, but I mean, I told my husband, I was like, yeah, they're upset. Like, I said this,
all the time,
yeah,
the
I said this Delta guy, he like the CEO, he's upset that like you have to show ID to vote or whatever. And he's
but
like, what?
But that's where he's even wrong.
Yeah.
You're not.
No, just for absentee.
You're showing ID to get a proper absentee ballot sent to the address, which, by the way, they changed. The address of the registered voters where that ballot will now go. They limited the amount of time you can absentee vote. They put a lot of regulations in, so there's just not this flood of ballots
right.
coming in last minute via the mail. And by the way, these are all great things that every state should look at.
Right. But for me, I totally agree with having to have an ID to vote. Like, that
I agree.
Just sounds like
everywhere,
common. Yeah,
by
it
the
sounds
way.
Sounds like common sense. And actually, if I was a minority, I'd be extremely offended people saying that they don't think I can get an ID. Like that would be a huge insult to me. Yeah. I'd be like, I'm completely capable. Thank you very much.
They have one anyway.
Right.
Sorry, but they do.
I know.
They all have one. This is not rocket science. All right. These impossible companies. Question of the day. Yesterday, I was right, Charlie. At least once in our life, 60% have reached for this item and consumed the entire thing. Charlie said ice cream. I said chips. I was right.
Oh, chips, yes.
A bag of chips.
Oh, yes.
Because they're
totally
designed
agree.
That way.
Yes, it's horrible.
They're made that way.
Oh, my gosh.
Where you start eating one and you can't finish.
It's terrible.
Till it's gone.
And then I get like, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm about to eat the whole bag. And yeah. then it's like, there's only like five left. I'm like, oh, I'll just put
Might
away.
Just polish
and,
it off.
Yeah, and then I'm like, just
done.
Forget it.
Just eat
let's
it.
Just do this. Yes.
All right, today's impossible question. Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. 4% of us, four. It's not a very large number, by the way. So, you know, like, not even, what is 4% out of 10? Not even four people. So
right.
less than a person. Whatever. 4%.
Okay.
Out of 100, it'd be four. Let's do it. Let's say it that way. Would give up showering for a month, then lose blank. So 4% of us would rather give up showering for a month than lose X.
Like what? For like, it's like an incentive?
Oh, Charlie says Wi-Fi. 4% of us would rather give up showering for a month than lose Wi-Fi. See, not me. Whatever, I'm
Are you
showering.
A big shower person?
Yeah, I'm showering.
Okay, now see, I can go without showering.
You're the Wi-Fi guy?
I know I shouldn't share this online, but on air, but yeah, like I can go a while. I mean, I don't, but I like, I'm totally down.
You're over there and I'm
like,
here?
I'm totally down to camp. Like I can rough it and go for a while.
Well,
and
I can
like,
too, but
it's when my hair starts to get kind of greasy
that
I'm like,
versus
okay,
Wi-Fi, give me the shower.
Yeah.
I can live without Wi-Fi. I'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have to, you know what? I want to have to go off the grid. Like sometimes I want to have to disconnect because I feel so connected that it drives me nuts.
Isn't it nice sometimes where you know you're going to be either traveling or driving somewhere where you're not going to have
yes
any reception and you
like,
don't
oh,
want
well.
Any?
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, I can buy it on the plane, but I'm not.
Yes, or I'm you know you're going through like some kind of ravine. You're like it's gone.
Yeah,
so
I'm good.
Yeah,
in fact, maybe I'll hang out here for a few hours.
Yeah, it's goodbye. Goodbye, world. See you later. It's good for
I'm
you,
that
though.
Way.
It really is.
There are times with me where it's like, you know, if I didn't have to do any of this, I would. Now I have to because of
right.
all the things I do. And, you know, and by the way, there comes a phone call. Probably somebody wanting to sell me an extended warranty.
Oh, gosh. I have this thing now where it's like ID shows up on my phone. People I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, hey, like AT&T is like, we gave you this free like ID now. And I like, it's like Fernando. You know,
Charlie got a call earlier. They were office cleaning. Charlie
yeah.
got a call earlier on air here. They were calling into the station asking who does our office cleaning. It's like, well, not you, and we don't want it to be you, so click, bye.
But now I have these random names. It's like Jane Smith. I'm like, I never plugged a Jane Smith into my phone. Who is this person calling me? Or it's like, you know, Terry, I don't know, someone. It's like, what?
So we're going with Wi-Fi as
okay.
the answer.
Okay, is that it?
I don't know. I will know
I
tomorrow.
Know.
It's a good answer, I think.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't know what else it would be. I mean, what else would you be willing to give up for a shower? There's not many things, by the way. I like modern conveniences,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah.
I've always said I love a bathroom. I love running water. I love electricity.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I wasn't born in 1900.
I know, right? That would have been rough.
Yeah, think about this. So guys, back in real quick. I know we'll get on to other things here, but just think about this for a minute. So back in the day, you had, you know, Rockefeller, who in today's world was worth about $350 billion, roughly.
Yeah.
Henry Ford was the second richest man at the time, was worth about $250 billion.
Okay.
So think about it. And keep in mind, that's $100
that's a
billion
chunk of money,
more,
right.
even Henry Ford, than what even Bezos is worth, and Rockefeller even more than that. So both these guys worth oodles of money, so much so that their families are still enjoying what those guys did way back
right.
in the late 1800s, early 1900s. But keep this in mind. They didn't have the modern conveniences we have.
Gosh. So what'd they do with their money then?
I mean, think about
That's
that.
That's why their kids have it.
I guess so, because they didn't
yeah,
do the things
they
we're
didn't
doing
do
today.
It, yeah. Seriously.
So think about that.
Yeah.
Because they literally
they
had that much money but had
yachts.
No ability
no.
to do the things we do today.
Yeah, multiple homes, probably
Go figure.
Not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some of them had that.
Some of them had that. But
they didn't
know.
Have the amenities that we have
right.
in the homes we own.
Right. I mean, when I was down in Florida, my goodness, I saw some of the yachts
Think about electricity. I mean, that was just coming around, you know, earlier.
Yeah.
I mean that time it was just coming around early, literally then. So
I wonder what they did with their money.
Hang on here 1 second. Charlie, let me take a break. I'll answer your question in 1 second. Let me take a quick break. We'll come right back. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. And Kurt Rogers would love to help you with a free mortgage review. Just give him a call today, and he is your guy. He's my personal mortgage broker, and he would love to help you with whatever it is you have going on. And his number again, 720-895-0500.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, A Good Shop is up next, and they want to help you with all of your collision needs. When you have a collision, it's already bad enough. You don't need any other additional stress added on to you. So go to A Good Shop, and they can take care of that. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether it's a huge collision or you just got some door dings you want to get fixed. Anything in between they can help you with and get you back to original equipment specifications. Three locations to serve you, 720-541-7697 or find them at klzradio.com.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into A Good Shop for auto body work and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama with us today. Jim Dennison joining us now. Jim, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, John. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Talk to us about Easter and what does the Bible have to say about Easter?
Well, thanks so much. The article on our website tells us what happened, that Jesus died to pay for our sins, but it also tells us why it happened, why it mattered. Why did Jesus have to die for our sins? Why did he have to die on the cross? Why did he have to be physically raised from the dead? Why even was he born as an infant instead of coming at 33 years of age? Want to get to the whys behind the what, because I think when they're saying the whys, the what becomes even more significant for us.
And, you know, we talked a little bit about this. We have a podcast we do here at Crawford Roundtable where we talk this week, especially because it's Holy Week and, you know, Easter is Sunday. And we talked a little bit about this subject. And, you know, Jim, I think for those of us like myself, I mean, I've raised in the church, grew up in it, you know, really didn't know any other ways. And you know, not saying that I never stopped to really think about all of the factual evidence in regards to this particular topic. And as I got older in life and, you know, started to realize that, you know, hey, I need to know what some of these things are. And I did do that research. And again, I'm not just saying I have blind faith because I don't. I believe fully in the infallibility of Scripture. I believe it's there for a reason. You know, God spoke his word to us. We now use that same word when it comes to geology and even, or not geology, but what am I trying to say? Archaeology.
Right.
We use it in archaeology,
yeah.
Digs, things along those lines. And we yet, Jim, even though people have gone out to prove that it's untrue, typically what happens is they just prove it more and more that it is true. So to your point, it says a lot about it.
Absolutely does. Quick story at that point, if I could. My
sure.
Junior year in college, my father passed away just before Christmas. The next January, I was leading a retreat for our campus, our Christian campus. I was planning to graduate in May as a religion major, get married in June, go off to seminary, spend the rest of my life essentially doing ministry. At this retreat on Saturday morning, I got up, and guys, it was like the roof caved in. Do I really believe this? Do I really know this is true? Am I going to spend the rest of my life doing this? Is this just what the pastor says or the Sunday school or the professor? How do I know it's true? Well, I've been studying apologetics, method of defending the faith that you just referred to. So I went for a long walk on that Saturday morning. I'll tell you, I remember like it was yesterday, even though it was more than 40 years ago. I remember the blue sky and the crunch of the leaves under my feet. I went through the empty tomb. We know that Jesus was crucified. We don't need a Bible to tell us that. We know that from Tacitus and Suetonius, Mara Bar Serapion, Pliny the Younger, Josephus. We know that he was crucified. We know his first followers believed he was raised from the dead. What happened to the body? So you go through the empty tomb. If they put him in the wrong tomb, they'd have shown him the right tomb. If the authorities stole the body, they'd have produced it. If the disciples stole the body, they died for a lie. Same with the women. Jesus couldn't have swooned or he couldn't have survived. You go through all of those theories that historians have been going over for 20 centuries. At the end of the day, the tomb is still empty.
Yep.
Jesus is alive. Amen. He's therefore king and he's worth my life.
And the empty tomb
is the foundation of my faith.
Yes.
Well said. And while Good Friday is just that, and the death on the cross is not just meaningful, Jim, it what really makes for all of us, life versus death. It gives us life abundantly, grace. It brings us to a relationship with God the Father that we wouldn't have any other way. I said this in the podcast the other day, which I think a lot of people forget, especially we as New Testament Christians, that we are very blessed in the fact that we can have that one-on-one relationship that prior to the event we're talking about, you had to be chosen to have that relationship with God. You didn't get a direct contact with him like we have right now. It worked completely different prior to the cross, correct?
Absolutely did. You're talking about Judaism in general, the Jewish people, and then ultimately the high priest, the only person, as you know, allowed to go into the Holy of Holies one day a year on the Day of Atonement. So terrified of the presence of God, they put a rope around his ankle so that if he died in the presence of God, they could drag his corpse out.
Yeah.
And now you and I can come into that very presence of God right now. God is as close as our knees, and it's because of Good Friday.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jim, to what you just said a moment ago, and again, I don't want to get into a lot of, liturgical, studies and so on. It's not, the audience that we have, nor is it the time. But you bring up a lot of things that I think at times, again, as New Testament Christians, we tend to, let's face it, and I was talking about this a moment ago, just with the modern conveniences we have in life. I mean, everything from, toilets to, electricity to, being able to fly from one place to another to now having cell phones, just all the technology that surrounds us, we forget that it wasn't that long ago that that didn't exist. But then we go back a couple thousand years and the entire course of history literally changed from that moment on the cross and the resurrection in the tomb 3 days later.
The hinge of history. You could not be more right. We even date history that way, don't we?
We do.
But from that moment, not only is a crucified carpenter from Galilee, now the risen Lord, and 12 followers, 120, 500, 3,000 at Pentecost, now 2.2 billion.
Yeah.
And then it's been calculated, guys, all the trillions of dollars of good that's done just in America by Christ followers in terms of hospitals and universities and care facilities and ministries and all of that literally changed history. More books written about Jesus than any person in all of human history.
Yeah.
You can go on and on, can't you?
You can, and I think, those that are – I did this yesterday, by the way, just for I don't know why, Jim, for grins. I just Googled, what see, how did I want to say, I want to make sure I say this correctly when I Googled it. Mm-hmm. Was Jesus alive? I think I Googled it this way. Was Jesus alive after his death on the cross? I think that's how I Googled it.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what, folks listening, Jim, you as well, you will not find one link that gives you any type of substance as to what we're talking about. Rather, it's all of the things you talked about a moment ago in theories as to the fact that he did not raise from the dead.
No way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Well, that's Google.
Yes. So just saying, guys, if you're Googling these questions that we're talking about right now, you will have to do some digging to find the answers we're talking about. Jim, by the way, the best answers in Scripture itself. But, if you're looking for outside sources, you're not going to find it with a search engine. That's my point.
You want to go to historians. You want to go to scholars. You want to go to Josh McDowell, who was convinced by the resurrection. Before that, Lew Wallace that wrote Ben-Hur. You want to go to C.S. Lewis, who was a committed atheist.
Lee Strobel, Case for Christ. And we can go down the list, Jim.
Great.
Exactly. Lee Strobel, as you say, his wife comes to Christ. He investigates me. So
he was a renowned atheist prior to that, Jim. Didn't believe in anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He did this to debunk his wife's faith.
Right.
And his wife's faith led him to faith. But it was the evidence. It's the absolute historic evidence that we stand on.
Right.
Yeah, and so everybody listening, what does the Bible say about Easter? Well, let me just say it this way. The entire Old Testament and everything going on there, Jim, it's pointing to one event, correct?
Yeah.
It is. From the very beginning all the way to this point. The Garden of Eden leads us to the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yep.
So
in the
powerful.
Garden of Eden, we rejected God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, God rejected Jesus so he could choose us.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He said no to his son so he could say yes to us. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, now we have the right to be in the Garden of the Tree of Life that's in Revelation 22. We're finally back in, finally have access to the Tree of Life, and it's because Jesus died on the Tree of Death.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I think at times we forget, Jim, and I know I do as well at times, because we get so busy in the day-to-day world we live in life, and it's busy, and let's face it, it's probably busier now than it's ever been in the history of mankind as far as all the different things we have going on and distractions and so on. And yet I have to remind myself and stop and remember that when Jesus did the things we're talking about, died on the cross, rose again, he literally was the completion of those things going on in the Old Testament. You know, everything in the Old Testament was pointing towards him, and when he came, he completed all those things.
He fulfilled
it. And we have to remember that and not forget the things that he did.
Absolutely true. Peter Stoner, the mathematician, I'm sure you all have seen this, some years ago calculated 48 prophecies Jesus fulfilled. The odds of doing that, 1 in 10 to the 157th power, which number is larger than the number of electrons in the universe.
Wow.
Then he picked the 8 that were most pivotal to Jesus' death and resurrection. The odds of his doing that are the odds of filling the state of Texas 2 feet deep in silver dollars, marking 1, yeah. Blindfold me, I pick up the 1 you marked. Those are the odds of Jesus fulfilling 8 of the 48 prophecies he fulfilled in his death and his resurrection.
And for those of you out there that may be saying, well, yeah, that's great. Anybody can write a book after the fact and have it say all those things and have all those things fulfilled. But, Jim, we also know that that's not how Scripture was written and how it worked. We've got historical evidence that all of those things you were talking about were written well before Christ ever showed up on earth.
Right. Yeah,
500 to 800 years before Jesus came, and even what he did there, well, I'm sorry, part of the things that Peter Stoner picked were the things Jesus couldn't arrange, like the man spearing him in the side and then
right.
Gambling for his cloak and being buried in the tomb of a friend. He couldn't have arranged those things, making it even clearer. Jesus didn't even fulfill those prophecies on an intentional level. It was divine sovereignty.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and very
exactly.
Few had access to the scribes. It was the priests, the Jewish priests at that time. You didn't just go pick up one at your local
store
down the road.
The other thing that was different back then versus today, Jim, which again, I have to remind myself of this, is back then, you know, the way they passed down history, which I wish we did this today, we've gotten actually, because of all these technological advancements, we don't do this anymore, and it's actually, I believe, killing us in a lot of ways, Jim. Back in the time of Scripture and even long after that, the way history was passed down is they talked about it from one generation to the next. And there was people sitting around that would say, whoa, wait a minute, no, you got that wrong. That's not how that went. This is exactly how it went. They made sure, my point is, they made sure history was correct in that verbal passing down from generation to generation, something, Jim, we could take a lesson of today.
Absolutely could, guys. As you think about the way that the internet works today and cancel culture and gossip and all the stuff that's inside social media, yeah, we have fragments that go back to 30 years after the event. We have a tradition that Paul records in 1 Corinthians 15 that was contemporaneous with the time of Jesus. We had 500 eyewitnesses. Mm-hmm. So if someone stands up and Jesus is crucified, isn't raised from the dead, someone starts falsely proclaiming the resurrection, you've got the Romans around, you've got the Jews around, you've got the authorities around, you've got all these people who are going to stand up and say that is not true. Yep. We have not one evidence of any Roman, any historian ever being able to debunk the resurrection of Jesus in the early centuries, and no one that's successfully done so today.
Wow.
Well said. I can't add any of that. Jim, that's perfect. How do they find you, Jim?
Thanks so much. DenisonForum.org, DENISON. Forum.org. They can click on the resource tab and find the paper on Easter. They'll see the daily articles that I produce each morning. They'll see the other podcasts, the videos, the resources, the books, all of that available.
That's
right
awesome.
There.
Jim, I appreciate it very much. Happy Easter to you and all the folks that you have on your end, and just enjoy the weekend. And again, as we are solemn tomorrow, but very, very celebratory on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming, guys.
You got
God
it.
God bless you.
Well said. Jim, thanks so much. I appreciate it, sir.
Take care.
You bet. Take care. Have a great evening. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Get Steve House back with us. We're going to talk about the events from this past Saturday that you were involved in.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Should we do that?
Okay, let's do
all right,
it.
We'll do that. We'll come right back. Michael Bailey, okay. Law, Mobile Estate Planning is next. Michael wants to help you with all of your estate planning needs. And it's easy. I mean that, folks. It's really easy. It doesn't take a lot of time. Doesn't take a lot of money either to get this done. But make sure your estate's in order. Go to klzradio.com or 720-394-6887.
KLZ's mobile estate planner knows how to protect your savings from healthcare costs, but you want to plan ahead. You worry about what might happen to your savings should you or your spouse need long-term care. Medicaid could ask you to spend down your assets, draining your accounts. You will feel so much better knowing that you have planned ahead to preserve your assets. Finishing your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law feels like such a relief. Ask Michael Bailey about setting up an asset protection trust. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
Okay, here, what chat are we doing, Charlie? Just tell me in my ear. This should be me. Okay, so it's me. So it's my coaching program that we talk about from time to time. Which, what were you talking about there real quick? Not that I was ignoring you.
Oh, but. No. I was just saying that I'm seeing more and more people express interest in Christianity.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a very good thing, especially with all that's going on right now. Like, Jesus is that hope. Mm. And people are looking for hope. And it's awesome to see.
Okay, so I'll dovetail into that. When it comes to your business, I can give you hope.
That's
not
okay.
Like Christ gives us in our lives, but I can. I can give you hope in your business. There's a lot of you out there that have struggled maybe through coronavirus. There's been things that have happened that were beyond your control. Can I help? Yeah, in most cases I can. I come in and I look at things, you know, probably in a different light than you are as an owner. I'm taking, you know, a 1,000-foot view. I can see things differently across the board. And not bragging, but I will tell you that all of my clients that have been through all of what's happened this past year with coronavirus not only have done well, but in some cases have expanded and are doing more now than they were a year ago. So I guess I can brag for a moment. My clients are doing very, very well. I'd love to help you do the same thing. And, you know, the way I work that is just send me an email, go to the website, rushtoreason.com, fill out the form. I'll get in touch with you. We can chat, figure out if it's a good fit. I'll give you some suggestions even on the front side, and we'll see whether this works or not. No pressure. Completely up to you. I only want to work with people that want to work with me. So again, go to rushtoreason.com, fill out the form.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
The last year has been very difficult for many individuals and tested who we are. It has tested our faith. Kim Munson here. Good Friday, Chris Stefanik, founder of Real Life Catholic, joins me. We'll talk about the hope of the cross and you living the life you were made for. You won't want to miss this conversation about hope, resiliency, and your calling. Plus, Hal Van Herkey, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, introduces you to his favorite charity. That's Good Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Tired of the corporate rat race? Time to retire? Call Chris Cantwell at Transworld Business Advisors to buy or sell your business. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama. Steve House joining us now. Hello, Steve. How are you today, sir? Beautiful day.
Good. It's a good day, and I just saw Rachel Keene this weekend.
You did. It was good to see you, Steve. I didn't get to talk to you as much as I wished I could have. It was kind of
crazy
in there. Well, it started off a little dicey. You didn't know how it was going to go. I was like, this is going to be a long day. But it went smoother than I thought, to be honest. A little long, but smoother than I thought.
Well, so what are you guys, and I haven't talked about this all week. I was really waiting for Rachel because I knew she was going to be there. Steve, I knew you would be involved as well. So I really waited for today to really talk much about this. Outcome was we now have, not saying this is good, bad, or otherwise, we now have all ladies running the state GOP.
That is true.
Rachel, you're a lady. What are your thoughts?
I am a lady. And you know what? I'm excited. I'm hopeful, and I'm hoping that we can turn this state around. I still have a huge question with our election processes, our election integrity. So I'm really hoping that we get to the bottom of some of that stuff to bring back a lot of the Trump supporters that I know that are like, I'm out. I'm not getting involved. I'm done.
Which, by the way, is a very stupid comment, but whatever.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that, you know, people have some answers. We get some answers. We regain trust. And I'm hoping that comes with our new leadership.
Okay.
As am I. I endorse three people going into that election, Christy Burton Brown, Priscilla Ron, and Marilyn Harris. So I can tell you that my feeling was we got the right three people.
Okay. There you go.
All right, so tell us why. Give me your opinion why. Because you and I have not talked about this at all prior to this, and I did not weigh in on this one way or the other, and I'll just be frank. I've had so many other things going on that I didn't have time to even study all of it, and we talked a little bit about it last Friday, Andy and I did, but give me your reasons why.
Well, first of all, you had a lot going on because you were trying to figure out how you're going to keep your automotive business going when the President of the United States decides he's going to spend $3 trillion on infrastructure, right?
Yeah, no comment.
Yeah. I think it was time. It's time for a new approach. I think it's, you know, the same old approach is not going to work. Obviously, there's serious problems in seven or eight counties in Colorado that need to be resolved. We know which eight counties they are. And I think, you know, if you go out with new leadership, at the very least, what you're telling people is, I do recognize that I need to change and that I'm going to try something different. And I think that's the very least we're going to get out of it. There's a lack of experience, but at the same time, there's probably a lot of experienced people who are going to be willing to jump in and help. So I feel comfortable that the statement is about changing our approach, and we need that in Colorado. Right.
When it comes to the, you know, joining everybody now together, because let's face it, there were folks that wanted Gessler, there were folks that wanted Casper, there were folks that wanted, you know, Christy, and yet this is the outcome. How does the current leadership bring all of that back in together to where everybody's on the same team again and we don't have any of this, which you and I've talked to you about this numerous times. The biggest complaint I've got with Colorado GOP is the infighting we do. We eat our own constantly. How do we not do that anymore?
I don't think in this election, and I wasn't as involved as I have been in the past, but in this election, you know, I know there was some back and forth. There was some negative campaigning that went on. But while I was in the room, I didn't sense there was so many people that were really hard line for their candidate and no one else. I mean, I feel like that, you know, there wasn't a lot of hurt feelings, but I could be wrong. I mean, Rachel was probably a little closer to it than I was. I just feel like that this is a group of people that doesn't solicit angry reactions the way we've had in the past.
Yeah, I agree with that, Steve. I think that a lot of, I don't think people were like crazy and, you know, it was like obsessed with the candidate and push. And there wasn't a lot of hostility. I didn't feel that. I felt like, I think everybody's like, okay, let's win. Like, that's what we have to do. And so, we don't have time for the infighting. We don't have time for division. We don't have time for any of that stuff.
No, we don't, folks.
It's time to unite, get behind these people, support them any way you can, and, you know, go on offense, too. I want to see us start to play offense. I would love to call this stuff out, you know, that's even just going on right now. Be on the forefront. Call them out. Make them have to defend themselves with a lot of the stuff
that's
going on.
I'd like to see the GOP, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong in my thought process here, but we've got a lot of things going on right now inside of the state of Colorado legislature. And I know we've got people there that are, you know, on our side working hard, you know, everybody from the Patrick Nevels and such doing that. But I would love to start seeing, you know, the GOP make some public announcements and start talking about some of these things that are affecting everyday life for every Coloradan that, frankly, I don't think we've ever done, you know, to a large extent in that area.
I don't disagree with that, John. I don't. I think we've got to do something different. I think you're absolutely right in that statement. I think part of doing something different is, I'll give you an example. I was talking to somebody the other day, longstanding Republican, who referred to the trial going on this week in Minneapolis as the George Floyd trial. And I said, it's not, it's Derek Chauvin. It's not, it has nothing to do with George Floyd,
right,
being on trial up there. And I said, you know, that's just part of what Republicans have got to realize, that, you know, you got to look at the situation for what it is. You've got to talk the truth, and you've got to leverage the truth for your strategy going forward. And some of these things, we just are way too casual about what's going on, to the point where if we continue to be casual, we're going to lose freedom, you know,
right,
even more. So we've got to pay a lot closer attention. We've got to have a much better awareness of where we are and what's happening.
Well, and some of what I'm going to talk about some of this tomorrow, I'll give you all a little teaser, but, you know, there's a headline today in one of the local publications. Senator Winter, Representative Jackson, it's time for climate action and justice in Colorado. Our bills will help us get there. And I'll be honest, Steve, as I read through the article and I look at what they're talking about as what that will be, none of what they're talking about helps the average average Coloradan. In fact, it will hurt them. I want to see the state GOP come out with a statement and get in the publications and outline what's wrong with this garbage that's getting shoved down our throat.
Right. Go on offense. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And some of it, John, too, is I got into a debate the other day about the climate with somebody, and everything they were talking about was the environment. They weren't talking about the climate. And so I said, so wait a minute. We're talking about the environment, or are we going to talk about the climate? And what do you mean? And they said, well, you know, when you're talking about the environment, you're talking about pollution and this different things that are going on that you want to deal with. I'm fine with having that conversation as long as you recognize we're talking about the environment, not the climate. They're two different things.
Right.
I think every time it's just like the infrastructure bill, right? It's now 6% roads, bridges, and things we would typically talk about as infrastructure. Our job is to make sure people understand there's a part of this bill that's about infrastructure. And then there's 94% of it that's about something other than infrastructure.
Right.
And the following things are what we're talking about. If we just let it go and we say, you know what, Democrats are just trying to implement the Green New Deal and, you know, the socialist agenda, then, you know, we're never going to get anywhere because we didn't define it well enough for people to get the difference.
Right. You have to break it down. You do have to simplify it.
You really do. And by the way, in this particular article, they talk about their Environmental Justice Act. When I went and looked that up to determine
that's a new thing. That's like a hot thing. It's super hot.
Yeah,
environmental justice.
And what it is, really, Steve, is it's just super, super stiff fines for what they would call, you know, polluters that are polluting in a way they should not be. And so they want to raise the fine from $10,000 a day to $40,000 a day and penalize them with jail time and all this other stuff. And I didn't read all the fine print as to what even qualifies for somebody fitting that description. For all I know, it could even lower the threshold for what's considered to be a gross, you know, polluter, and somebody may not even know they're doing that. Now they're going to end up with a $40,000 a day fine. And by the way, this has nothing to do with any kind of an Environmental Justice Act, which, by the way, they add to that, making it sound like we're doing this to help minority groups out in Colorado. Again, nothing is farther from the truth.
Yeah, I don't know how you give the environment itself justice, first of all. I don't
right.
know. I mean, those are just two words they pick together, right? People get justice, not the environment.
Right.
So that's one thing. I think the other thing is there's one other thing where we got to really, really dig in on is there's a feeling out there that racism is solved via socialism, and it's not.
It's not. No, it actually makes it worse.
Yeah.
It does make it worse, right? And so, you know, we've spent way too much time. I know, John, we've talked about, you know, learning Democrat as a second language, learning socialist as a second language. You got to get it, because if you don't get it, you're going to let people get away with that. They're going to be talking about socialism and communism is, you know, about fairness and equity and, you know, diversity, and, you know, there's a lot of those words that are important, but you don't get there by just making socialism the answer to racism. It doesn't work. It's the worst.
That's right. The other thing I would love to have the GOP start doing, Steve, is start calling out some of these individuals that are, you know, the Democrats that are basically in charge of some of these bills and moving them forward.
Yeah.
And I would like to start calling out some of these individuals, i.e. Faith Winters, who has no background in any of the things that she's actually dealing with and writing bills for. I would love to start calling some of that stuff out, because I don't think the average Coloradan understands any of that. We've got people writing bills that have no idea what anything even goes on in those particular areas, have no experience there whatsoever. None.
Right. You need to have people at the Capitol that are pinpoint people that can handle media, know how to face the media, know how to take it on, and they're your go-to. Like, if you're forming this party right now, if I was part of the system, I'd say these are my people.
Yeah.
I got five of them here, and they're going to speak out when anything comes forward that we disagree with and break it down for the you know, not so smart voter.
Well, i.e. like I broke down yesterday for all the listeners, because I read through the Georgia bill or the Georgia law that passed when it comes to, you know, the voting changes that were made there. And Steve, what needs to happen at our Capitol here is somebody up there needs to do what I did yesterday to really give out the facts of what's going on and get rid of all the Democrat lies, which, by the way, is what's going on in Georgia right now. They're doing nothing but lying, bold-faced lies about what that law is now. We got to do the same thing here, Steve.
Yeah, I know, and it's there's a part of me that believes that what ought to happen is Faith Winter authors a bill. Instead of having a traditional committee meeting, you have a committee meeting where Faith Winter is sitting there defending what it is she's attempting to do to anybody who wants to line up and sign in and ask her questions. And, you know, if she's going to do something strictly because some lobbyist decided that, you know, she should do it and that they were going to donate to her campaign, then let her defend it. By the same token, on this Georgia election bill, you know, listening to Koch and Delta today say they think that they're going to oppose the bill and, you know, right. they're talking about getting rid of the Major League Baseball All-Star game in Georgia because of that, when it's flat out being lied about.
That's right. I mean, right. Flat out lie. I talked about it yesterday. Everything these guys... No, to your point, Steve, everything these CEOs are talking about, evidently they're so dumb, and I'm saying that real, I mean this, they're so dumb and illiterate, they didn't take the 20 minutes I did yesterday to scan through the bill, read all the highlights, make their own notes, and then make a comment. They're relying on, because they're dumb as rocks,
right.
they're relying on what the left feeds them,
media, right.
and they haven't even read it for themselves, which, by the way, means they shouldn't be CEO anymore.
But that's what a lot of people do. Don't you think? I think a lot of people read the headlines.
Yeah, but if you're the CEO of a company like Delta and right. Coke and you're doing that, you should not have a job.
Right. I think most people read headlines or they see like a comment and then they just go with it. They don't research. They don't read the bill. They don't read. They don't do anything.
By the way, I agree. But Steve, would you not agree with me? If you're going to run a Fortune 500 company, which those are, shouldn't you be able to read a bill and a law?
Yeah, you not only should you be able to read a bill, the one thing you need to embrace is that to be the CEO of a company, to be the leader of an organization, you better be uncomfortable a fair amount of the time taking a stand when it's right.
Right.
Because that's just the way it is. I mean, it's just like, you know, I was part of an organization that was implementing diversity, equity, and inclusion. I thought it was the wrong type of organization to do it. And when you really dig into it, the reason why they're doing it is they want to feel better about themselves. That doesn't change anything just because you feel
that's
better
right.
that
right.
you oppose the Georgia voting bill. If you really don't like the bill, give me the details on what you don't like about it and what are you willing to do
right.
to make it different.
It's right. just virtue
you know, just
signaling
saying, well,
is what they're
we're,
doing.
We're on board with the people who don't like this voting rights bill. We think Stacey Abrams is right and we're suppressing votes. Okay, tell me how that happens because all you're doing right now is taking a popular position so that you
right.
feel comfortable.
Right. Yep.
And I don't want you to feel comfortable if you've got real problems.
Mm-hmm.
I can't add anything to that. That's exactly right. All right, let's do this. We'll take a timeout. Steve, I'll let you go. I appreciate your time as always. We'll talk more next week. How's that sound?
Thanks, both of you. And Charlie, it's Rachel Keene, the conservative mama. He knows what I'm talking about.
There we go. Okay. All right. Appreciate it very much. Mark and Littleton, hang tight. We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Franktown Firearms is next, folks. By the way, I got noticed today, the wait time to buy a gun is now up one more day. We're now 4 days and around 20 minutes.
To do what?
To buy a gun. The background check is 4 days plus.
Okay.
It's gone up from before the shooting in Boulder was about a 20-minute wait to now it's 4 days and 20 minutes.
Oh.
So about four days plus. Just plan on not owning the gun that you buy on Monday until Friday.
Okay.
Kind of the way it's working. So Franktown Firearms can explain all that, help you with all that. And by the way, they're well-stocked. They've got everything you need, whether it's guns, ammo, you name it. They're there and the training as well. KLZradio.com or 720-770-7777.
At Franktown Firearms, you can always get better. It's a very conservative notion that no matter how good you are right now, life is all about improving yourself. That's exactly how the team at Franktown Firearms is looking at training, which is why they offer a greater diversity of platforms than most shooting ranges, including static, moving and shooting, and target acquisition engagement, so you can always get better. It's a great feeling to see your skills improving, and at Franktown Firearms, you have literally unlimited potential. Sign up for one-on-one instruction on the range or register for a group class catered to your level of ability. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms, confidence through practice.
Bruce Simmons is next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist, really the professor of reverse mortgages. Anything you need to know, sort of like the Georgia bill, don't rely on what the left or everybody tell you about it. Go figure it out for yourself straight from the source. In this case, that would be Bruce Simmons. He'll tell you exactly how they work, the ins and outs, the good, the bad. It's all there. Call him now at 303-467-7821 or klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Jody said, called these folks up to see about getting some equipment to help with an off-site meeting. What a surprise. It is so rare these days when someone exceeds your every expectation, but BES sure did. While the item I needed wasn't something they normally deal in, they called around, found a solution, and then called me back. Then, when we were talking through the pricing, they said, you know what? Pay it forward. We've got you on this one. If you are looking for a business that tries hard for their customers and still believes in old-fashioned business values, you needn't shop further. This is it. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama with me today. Mark and Littleton, you are next. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, you know, something's kind of dawned on me here the last few days, because all I hear, listen to Tucker, you, it doesn't matter. It's just we're getting steamrolled. The only thing I think we have to fight back is information and just letting the whole country know exactly what they're doing. I just don't see what, we can't do anything else. We don't have the votes.
Right.
We got nothing.
No, same thing here in Colorado. I mean, so I was saying earlier about what's going on here in Colorado. I mean, I know for a fact there's not much we can do at the state house. The governor, you know, we know what Polis is going to do. We know what all the representatives are going to do, what the senators are going to do. You know, we can fight back. We can do as much as we possibly can, politically speaking, Mark. But that's my point even here in our state, is we have got to have a larger voice, even more so than what I'm doing here daily. We need a larger voice at the state house that when something like these things come out, somebody from our side is there to basically have a counter announcement to, let me spell this out for everyone so we can give you the real truth as to what's going on here.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's the only way we can combat it, Mark.
Yeah. And I don't even think, I think most of them on the other side don't even care, but I think there's a small percent if we get to, and in reality, we really didn't lose the election by that much as far as votes. I mean, I think it's maybe 50, 100,000 votes if you break up all the counties.
I think, you know, you bring up a great point. In Colorado, at least I feel, and I'm not in charge of the GOP, but if I were, I would look at it and say, okay, where are we, to your point, where were we short this last go around? Where did we have votes that we, you know, if we'd had a few more, we would have won this, that, and the other. I mean, I would go through and study all that, look at it, and tell you exactly where those things are, and then, of course, highlight those areas and really concentrate my message there. But in general, even statewide, you know, I would take some of these bills, even that they're trying to push through right now, the one I was reading a few minutes ago, and talk about, wait a minute, time out. This is what this bill really means. In fact, I would even break it down as far as, for you as a Colorado taxpayer,
right,
this is what this bill is now going to cost you moving forward. Keep in mind, you all as voters have voted down every single tax increase that has come across our ballots in the last, whatever, 15 years. But here's what they're trying to do right under your nose and spell it out for them.
Yeah, and they're sneaking all kinds of crap into this H.R. 1. I heard that the whole thing where how Lois Lerner was going after all these conservative groups and blah, 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 they snuck something in there so that they'll have no recourse if it gets through. They'll
if they go after conservative groups?
Too. Yeah, for anything, they won't get in trouble. Or they won't be able to
really? I didn't. I'll have to study that. I didn't know about that. I will check it out, though.
There's something in there, I think, I heard that's going to roll.
And doing the same thing with this Equality Act, too, that's now going into the Senate. I think calling out what this really means, being very specific, laying it out, detailed, what this means, what it means for you, for churches, for Christian schools, all of it, what it really means, mm-hmm. what it means for kids in school, breaking it down. Because, you know, Democrats are known for putting a beautiful label on it. So you're like, oh, wow,
yeah,
equality, that sounds wonderful. It's us that needs to come forward and say, this is what this means, and be very specific.
Yeah, I mean, it's just scary what they're doing. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, if this crap doesn't open up people's eyes, I just don't know what's
Well, going. And you know, Mark, to your point earlier, though, and I think you're correct. I mean, not only between what I do here, and I know there's other shows in town that are doing the same thing. I'm not the only one tooting this horn. I know there's others that are doing the same thing. But I think collectively, though, from our party, and this is one thing that I have not seen come out of our party, frankly, ever, and that would be somebody, again, down at the State House, that when some of these bills get introduced and or get close to passing, there's some real information on what they actually mean and what it's actually going to mean to each and every citizen of the state of Colorado. We don't do that, and we should be.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. All right, well, thanks for taking
my
call.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. No, and again, folks, I know I'm kind of beating the drum there, but I don't know how else we as a state, as a party, state party, I should say, are going to counter what's going on at the state house, knowing they control everything. This is a total blue state now, deep blue as far as that goes, where they control the House, they control the Senate, and they control the governorship. Now, do I believe we have a shot at controlling some of that and getting some of that back in 2022? Maybe. Mm-hmm. And I say maybe because it comes down to the things we're talking about right now. What do we do to get the voters to understand that these people that they have elected have done exactly what they said not to do in regards to especially taxes? Because what they're doing right now, they're going to increase taxes across the board. There's another article out today talking about the unemployment fund. Okay. And how it's going to be behind $1 billion. Jeez. That's a B, folks. Now, keep in mind, they don't know where $500 million of that went because they're total knuckleheads. That's a whole other conversation. But regardless, the unemployment fund in Colorado is going to be behind $1 billion. And that debt now is going to come due probably in 2023, which means that all of us as employers will be the ones making that up. And where all these articles have it wrong, and I read an article today that talks about how, yep, the employers will have to make up that difference. No, folks, the employers won't make up that difference because employers and businesses pay no taxes. Zero, zilch, nada. I've said it a gazillion times. I'll keep saying it. Guess who pays the taxes in every single business? The customer does.
Right.
Why in the world? I cannot get that through everybody's head out there, especially those knuckleheads at the State House. Mm-hmm. The customer pays all of the expenses any business has. And here's the reason I know that. If they don't, they go broke.
Great. But also, let's talk about this infrastructure bill. I know we're going to a break here. But the infrastructure bill is, Biden is saying we're going to pay for it by raising the corporate tax rate,
which
right?
Isn't so going to be
right.
enough anyways.
Right.
But this is
where Democrats get it wrong. Because Democrats think, okay, yeah, we're really going to shove it to the rich guy. That's what they think, right? But it's not the rich guy with three homes and a couple yachts that's going to get hit. It's the middle guy. It's the guy in middle management. When you hit a corporation, it's that guy that gets laid off.
Customer.
Right. It's that guy. It's exactly. Wages hike. People get laid off. And that's
prices go up.
And prices go up. Exactly.
The reason why none of these individuals, including our own state house, they don't understand this is, and I've said this a gazillion times, I'll keep saying it. Do you think Faith Winters, and I'm picking on her, why? Because I frankly don't like the woman. I think she's evil. I don't think she should be in the seat that she's in. And somebody needs to run against her and get her out of here. She has never run a business in her entire life. She's never wrote a payroll check. And she has no idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's our problem.
Right.
And
but
by the way, that's in every area of the country.
Right. But these Democrats, they're indoctrinated to hate the rich. Right. So they think, OK, we're going to go after the big corporations. We're going to go after the businesses and really get them. Right. But it's not them they're getting, which
no.
is like, you're oh, my gosh, you're getting the middle class family. But
that's
see,
right.
if you're paying attention, that's the goal. They want to wipe
right.
out the middle class. Those are the people that we really
that's
have to look
fear.
Out. That's what they're doing.
That's the threat. You're right. Barber's Foods is next, folks. By the way, somebody that gets everything we're talking about and supports it fully is Greg Bloob, the owner. How do I know that? Because we're good friends. I talk to him all the time, and he's just a fabulous guy. By the way, has the best meat in Colorado, period, bar none. So you know what? Instead of helping that local big supermarket chain that may have totally different views on life than we all do, which, by the way, they do.
Yeah.
Support somebody that thinks like you. Barber's Foods. I mean that sincerely. It's Barber's with an S, barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been selling only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free, and natural food products in Colorado for over 70 years. Their mission is to provide only the best food found in the marketplace from family farms they know personally. Right now, click on March Madness Specials at the top of barbersfoods.com to find these specials and more. Barber's Farms, ground beef, made in Colorado, from Colorado raised beef in 1-pound packages, only $2.99 a pound. Thunder's Catch Alaskan Salmon, whole fillets on sale in March for only $12.49 a pound. And pre-order your Beeler's Duroc non-GMO spiral ham before Easter. Don't spend $100 or more for a spiral ham from a retail outlet. Buy wholesale and get a better ham at a better price from a family farm that Barber's Foods knows personally. Place your order today at barbersfoods.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, myself, Rachel Keane, conservative mom, if you're listening to us at 7 o'clock, thank you very much for listening to the replay. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place for the Friday edition, the Good Friday edition, I should say, of Rush to Reason. Up next, though, Gary Goldman is going to join us. Can we blame spring breakers for wanting to escape lockdowns? We'll talk about that next. We'll be right back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.